Welcome to Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Each week, I invite a different guest from a different walk of life to talk to me about books that they've read, which have influenced them, and books they suggest we take to the beach this summer. You've no excuse not to be well read. Welcome to Books, Beach and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Paula Flerisola. She's a TV producer by trade, so I'm imagining you spend quite a lot of time reading research and reading up on other things. So you do find time to actually relax and read novels?
Yes, in fact, my reading for me means it's the end of the day, because that is usually when I get time to read. I make it a point to read for at least half an hour before I go to sleep.
So no screen stuff? You don't put your iPad on or anything like that?
No. It has to be a proper book.
Good.
And even if I get home really late, you know, after a party, not that I'm a party animal, but...
After a theatre party, I try and read
for at least 5 minutes, because I find that's the best thing for me to switch my brain off and get ready for sleep.
So you don't dream with the characters? You don't sort of go off and they don't plant themselves in your dreams or anything
No.
Okay.
They just sort of lull me to sleep and then sort of remain within the pages for me to pick up the next day.
And so you read one book at a time, or are you one of those people that reads...
No, I tend to read one at a time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would have, at the best of times, I would have about three or four books on my bedside table, but I read one at a time.
One at a time, okay. What sorts of books do you read then? Because I'm just about, you're quite involved in the theatre, so there's quite a lot of, again, sort of reading there, I'm guessing.
I mean, I look for a good story. Mm-hmm. I look for, you know, I don't have a particular preferred genre. I mean, this is the same with my film reviewing, because I also write film reviews.
Ah, yes, of course.
I need to have a character or a group of characters that I care about.
Okay.
So it could be science fiction, fantasy, historical, modern, you know.
That's a real mix, a real mix.
Yes.
And so what sort of book are you reading at the moment? What's your 5 minutes before you go to bed?
Well, it's when you told me about sort of this interview, I sort of looked at my bookshelves to choose a handful of my favourites, and I picked out quite a few which are in front of us right now, and I basically started reading Middlesex again, so that's what I'm reading at the moment.
So tell us a bit about that, and what's making you read it again?
I'm reading it again because I remember just how much I enjoyed reading it. Actually, I've read it twice. I think I've read it a couple of times already. It's basically by a guy called Jeffrey Eugenides. I hope I pronounced that well. It was published about 15, 16 years ago. It's a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel about... it's a coming-of-age story, a family saga chronicling the life of the protagonist, who is intersex.
Okay.
So he was, I mean, I'm not giving anything away, because it's basically the first two lines of the book saying he was born twice, first as a girl, and then 15 years later as a boy. And it's basically chronicles his family saga. They came from Greece to the United States, and there was something happened within the family that caused his genes to, you know, make him what he is. And so it's about his family, it's about his life growing up, and it's written with a lot of warmth and genuine humour. And it's, you know, it's a feel-good book, while at the same time being a very accurate chronicle of the immigrant experience and of what it is to seek to find your own gender identity.
So what made you choose that book?
It was recommended to me by a friend.
Yeah. And so, is that how you normally get your books recommended, or do you read other books by the same author over and over again?
It's a bit of both, really. I mean, obviously, people recommend a good book, I tend to read it, but yes, there are a few authors who I just read whatever they write.
I just find it annoying that they don't write fast enough for
For some, yes. Yes. That's very true.
That's probably a bit misleading, actually. So what books had you read before Middlesex that you've kept maybe for a future reread?
What I have, which I didn't bring with me today, but again, it's another book which I find, which I really treasure, is The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold, which is, you know, I mean, obviously, those who know it will know it's a pretty, very, very tragic story, but it's very beautifully written.
Wasn't that made into a film as well?
It was made into a film, which a lot of people hated, but I didn't. Again, certain books, it's very difficult to capture the essence on film, but I felt this. I felt Lovely Bones, you know. I watched it with trepidation because, you know, it got a lot of pretty crap reviews. But it's, you know, it was a good adaptation.
And did you read the book before you saw the film then?
Yes.
And you think that's the right way around to do it, or do you prefer to see the film normally and then go back to see how the writer actually...
It depends, because obviously in my job as a film reviewer, and I see most movies, if it's a movie adaptation of a novel which I haven't read, obviously I'm seeing the film first. There are some films I watch which are based on books, and I say, I like the film enough that I want to go back and read the book. So obviously that makes the experience a bit different than seeing a film after you've read the book. Because obviously when you're reading the book, you visualize things yourself. You create the image of the characters, of the settings yourself. So when you see the film, you think, hang on, it's not how I imagined
it. She doesn't look like that.
Exactly. But when it's done the other way around, then, you know, it's a completely different experience.
So tell us about another book that we've got in front of us. There's a couple here. There's a novel here called Carol. What's that about?
Carol was one of those instances when I saw the movie first. I loved the movie, and I realised it was written by Patricia Highsmith, a novelist and very popular in the 50s and 60s. And Patricia Highsmith wrote the film, the novels I knew of Patricia Highsmith were these very deep, dark thrillers like Strangers on the Train, The Talented Mr. Ripley. So when I saw this movie, I was very surprised that it originated from her pen. Carol is about, it's based in the 1950s, it's about a love affair between a New York socialite, a woman, and a young shop girl she meets. You know, literally their eyes meet over the counter and it sort of sparks fly. And it's just a very beautifully beautifully written, beautifully nuanced love story between these two women at a time when it was, you know, the socialite is married to a very sort of, you know, famous banker, and obviously this was something which completely forbidden. And what is unusual about it is that it has, spoiler alert, a happy ending, which is very unusual for stories about gay characters written at the time, because they always end up either depressed or committing suicide or shunned by society.
So it's quite an unusual story, actually,
it is,
in that
an
sense,
unusual
especially
story.
Being two females.
And exactly, and especially for something written, you know, at
in
its
that
time.
Date.
And sort of how they go about it, how it evolves. And again, the film was just, I think, a very perfect representation of the book.
Okay, so that's one worth either seeing or reading.
I would do both.
You would do both of those.
I would probably read the book first.
Yeah, and then see the film.
I mean, there were, again, film often requires some changes, and the changes that were made from the book to the film were really spot on, I thought.
Okay, and do you have other films that you think actually read the book, don't see the film? Are there some of those, or vice versa, that it's like, no, definitely the book is better than the film?
If I had to think of... Okay, let's take... I think the Harry Potter movies and the Harry Potter books are pretty much on par. I mean, I read the books before I saw the movies. And I love the books. Again, I can bring them with me because it's too many of them. Because I think J.K. Rowling managed to just, you know, at least speaking personally, as I grow up, I've become a bit more cynical about life. But reading the way she creates this magical world is just amazing. And obviously with film, you know, they took what she wrote and just created these magnificent movies. Another fantasy film series which I loved, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I don't believe I'm confessing this, I could never read the book.
Just too heavy?
It just, you know, I tried to read it a couple of times when I was young. When the movies came out, I thought, okay, I should be able to read it again, but still, I just found it's just, you know, very, 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 very worthy, and, you know, I found myself to read the three paragraphs. I'm probably going to get a lot of criticism for this, but, you know, when you read the three paragraphs on a page and you have no idea what you're reading, you have to keep going back to the top of the page, it's just, you know.
Yeah, no, that's not fun.
So I just stick to the movies.
So Lord of the Rings is a better film than...
I think so. I mean, I'm sure a lot of literary buffs would disagree with me, but...
What about the other way around? Books that are better than... No, the other way around. Films that are better than the book.
I'm trying to think of examples, but I can't think of any. One thing I noticed that when films are made out of novellas,
mm-hmm.
they're just really a perfect, like The Shawshank Redemption,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my all-time favourite movies. That was based on a Stephen King novella. And I think the film basically took the essence of the novella and sort of just created this magnificent world. So I would say probably the film is better than... It's not a case of being better, but as an experience.
But also the actors in that film, for example, are just phenomenal. So you can get duff actors, not duff actors necessarily, but they just think they don't match your expectation of the character. They don't look like or sound like or dress like.
Exactly, but this kind of, it really sort of captured the essence of the book, and obviously it blossomed because of the fact that it was on screen.
Mm. Mm-hmm. We've got another couple of books here which are similar.
One of my favourite, I suppose, classics is Howard's End,
mm-hmm.
By E.M. Forster. Again, another fantastic film adaptation, but let's keep them separate. It's a novel that was written at the turn of the 20th century, around 1910, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I love anything, be it a film, be it a book, that's a strong female character. And one of my all-time favourite characters is Margaret Schlegel. She and her sister, for their time, they're very forward-looking, and it's, you know, they love theatre, they love music, they're, you know, very sort of independent thinkers, and obviously at the time London society was sort of slowly coming into the sort of modern age, as it were. And one of the sort of the phrase that's most known from this book is a phrase which is something Margaret says, which is only connect. And it's about connecting, not mm-hmm. only her with her family, but connecting with people of different classes and different genders. And it's just a really accurate portrayal of society at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's written so that the characters are really, really, really well drawn. There was a lot of conflict between them. And it's also still very, very warm and very humorous. And so I was very, very pleased to read this book. And the second book, Zadie Smith,
mm-hmm.
On Beauty, which was written about 10 years ago, I think, again, an award-winning novel. And I remember when I was reading it, I was thinking, there's something really familiar about this book.
Uh-huh.
Really, really familiar. And then I read up about it and I realised she had sort of, it was in a way inspired by and also written as an homage to Howard Zinn. So it's basically the same situation,
mm-hmm.
class differences, race differences, yet set in modern day London.
Okay, different time.
So there's this kind of parallel. I mean, the characters go through the same experiences. Obviously, things are different because there's
technology or whatever.
There's 90 to 100 years. But at the same time, the issues they face, the prejudices, it's you know, it's very much the same. So it's
we don't change just the...
No,
yeah,
we don't. I think intrinsically we don't.
I don't think Zadie Smith is horribly young to be so talented. I think it's quite annoying.
Yes, I know, it's very annoying. There's a lot of annoying young talented people out there, so, you know.
But yeah, this wasn't one of her, it wasn't her first.
I don't believe it was her first, no.
So quite unusual for her to have,
but it's
not replicated, kind of, but you know, taken
but yes,
a
it's, but again, skeleton. I mean, because you probably have some, you know, nitpickers who'd say, oh, but she's basically ripping off, you know, it's really not that, it's a case of taking something you love and building something upon it.
In different, you know, different times and characters. And what books are you looking forward to reading? If you've got a list coming up that pile on your bedside table is going to be consisting
well,
of?
Well, speaking about this sort of film adaptation thingy, I've just watched a movie called On Chesil Beach.
That's where I used to live. I went to boarding school in Weymouth. Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. And it's based on a novella by Ian McEwan,
mm-hmm.
who's another author I really love. In fact, I loved his book Atonement, and I loved the film adaptation. And
I know nothing about it, actually. I know nothing about the book or the film, so...
On Chesil Beach.
Yes, we just...
Well, it's basically about this young couple who... it's their wedding night, really, mm-hmm. and it's set in 1963, so just before the sexual revolution hit Britain. And it's literally them on their sort of wedding night. They've just come back from the service. They're in this little hotel on Chesil Beach. Mm-hmm. And it's all very awkward mm-hmm. because they're both virgins, and there are a lot of flashbacks to their respective lives and how they got together. And I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to spoil it. But it's you know, just really captures the feeling of the time and sort of the awkwardness. Mm. And there was an aspect to it, again, I'm not going to say anything because I don't think of anything else, which I just didn't like. It just didn't work for me.
Okay.
And left me with a bit of a sort of bitter taste. So now I'm curious to read the novel. A, because I want to read it, because I'm really... But also to see sort of how this works in the book
uh-huh.
as opposed to film. So,
oh, I wish you could tell us.
So, no, I can't.
So, in terms of actually films over the summer, what else should we be looking out for? Are there other film, book adaptations, things we could
Well, the thing about summer is
download.
All the sort of, oi, all the, you know, summer is all the sort of, you know, the big kind of
children movies,
and, you know.
I didn't really go to the cinema much in the summer. We used to only go in the summer because they were the only places that had AC. Yeah, but now very rarely go in the summer. I don't know why.
So it's, I mean, there's the, you know. You've caught me on the wrong foot here, because I came prepared to talk books, not
We can talk about both. Just new things that are coming up, even new books that you've seen that you're looking forward to reading.
No, I'm looking forward to reading that. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of other books I said I really must get a hold of. I want to see it again, because, like I said, so when you asked me to do this, and I was looking at my bookshelves, and I thought, I must see if Jeffrey Eugenides has got anything recent, because he hasn't sort of... The last book I read of his was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
If not longer. And same with Zadie Smith.
Have they? So is there anything new coming out from Jeffrey?
I need to check. I haven't yet.
Okay. Well, if you haven't, Jeffrey, please, if you're listening, hurry up, write a new book.
Exactly.
You have another one here, which just, I need you to leave this behind with me, actually. Some Enid Blyton, who, obviously, childhood hero.
Well, I mean, exactly. I think me and a gazillion others grew up on Enid Blyton, and she just transported me to, you know, all these adventures, and I used to create my own little tree house in the garden, pretending I was one of the Secret Seven or the Famous Five, or, you know, or because you mentioned boarding school,
yes,
there was the Mallory Tower,
yes,
and the St. Clair series, and, you know, and I was very tickled a couple of years ago to find out there was a guy called Bruno Vincent,
mm-hmm.
who's created a series of books based on the Famous Five, which basically sort of they're spoofs, really. I mean, with titles like the one I have here, which is Five Go Gluten Free. There's Five Give Up the Booze, Five Go Away on a Strategy Away Day, and I think my favourite is Five on Brexit Island.
Oh!
And it's, I mean, you know, they are very naughty in that they're sort of, they pretty much, you know, take the mickey out of
the stereotypical.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you read them, it's not so much him taking the mickey out of the Famous Five on Enid Blyton, but just of our modern world and how sort of things are, you know.
Certain
things can be really sort of ridiculous. And
you
could
go through and rename the characters as people
exactly,
in your own
exactly,
life.
Exactly.
I wish they would do that. I wish they would allow you to actually, you know, make books. I know there are certain books where you can print your own names, but it would be really good to do
this. Is a book which, you know, I bought it in London a few months ago, and I just picked it up at the bookshop and went through a couple of pages, and I found I was just laughing out loud, so I said, I have to buy it, you know, and it's you know, it's just something silly and fun, and it kind of takes you back, but at the same time, you know,
just makes you giggle at recognition of people in your own world. So you buy books, you browse proper bookshops. Is that how you get your stash?
Bookshops, and yes, I do a bit of
online as well.
Only one of the few things I buy online.
Mm.
Books.
It is, because the thing is, when you buy books online, or when I buy books online, I buy a lot at a time. I tell myself it's to justify the shipping. But the thing is, you can go to a bookshop.
Certain online stores don't charge shipping.
Oh, I see. We need to talk offline. Yeah, but yeah, so I end up buying 10 books instead of buying one or two. Whereas I go to a bookshop, I would buy one or two because I have to carry them home.
Yes.
So
yes,
it sort of makes a difference there. So you go, but when you're in the UK, you browse more, go around to pore over books. And what about in Malta? You go to bookstores here much? Or?
I do. I mean, not often, but I do buy stuff, you know. If I happen to be mm-hmm. at a bookshop and I say, I need a new one. But I mean, buying online, you know, like, I'm just, thought, oh, I must get hold of the script. You just mm-hmm. go online and...
You can get it, yeah, in a nanosecond. What's the play?
It's The Jew of Malta.
Ah, okay. So that's at least...
That's happening. It's being produced by the NABC and the Teatro Manvel in October.
Okay. So that's something for us to look forward to opening the theatre scene. And you're going to be helping produce that?
I'll be executive producing.
Ooh, that sounds rather grand. Sure, yeah. So you really need to know the script, the characters?
Well, I like to. If I'm working on a play, I mean, of late I've worked more backstage than on stage, but I like to sort of know the script.
And who should be interacting with who. And
just, you know, yeah.
So tell us a bit about the story, not to be too much of a spoiler. Have you read it yet, or you've only just downloaded it?
Just sort of, you know, it was written by Christopher Marlowe. It's around Shakespeare's time. Mm-hmm. And it's basically about Jews, Muslims and Christians on the island of Malta a few hundred years ago.
I went to a very interesting talk the other evening by Conrad Tate, about the Turkish cemetery.
Okay.
And right next door to it is actually the Jewish cemetery, which I never knew.
Okay.
And you drive past the Turkish cemetery 3 or 4 times a day, but never knew there's a Jewish cemetery right next door. Tiny weeny, but actually there. So it could be something to refer to in the play. And the Turkish cemetery is just beautiful in its own right. They're not as elaborate with their tombstones as the Catholics are, but the actual entrance and the gardens around are quite stunning. But yeah, that's a bit of a sidetrack.
Well,
there you go.
That's me, theatre, film, books.
So any more books you can recommend us reading, or books that have changed your life, or books that you just carry with you in your heart, in your memory?
Books that have changed my life? Sorry, no.
You're not going gluten-free then?
No, I'm not going gluten-free. I'm looking forward to summer because, you know, beach is another time, place where I catch up.
And just read and read.
Uh-huh. And, but again, my beach books are sort of, I would call them easy reading. I love Kathy Reichs. She's an American forensic anthropologist, and she's got this series of crime books, mm-hmm. which... in fact, it's a TV series based on them called Bones, but I prefer the books and TV series.
Yeah, the actors in Bones are a bit annoying, actually.
No, it's not that. I mean, I find I prefer the main character, the way she's depicted in the book. And again, obviously being sort of written by a real expert, in fact, she's one of the top 10 forensic anthropologists in the world, I think. There's a lot of detail, a lot of gory detail, but it's sort of very easy to understand, and I find it very, very fascinating. But again, her characters, her main character is very flawed, very, very funny, and she has my favourite literary cat. She's got a cat called Birdie, who's a fantastic character in his own right.
Okay, I haven't noticed the cat in the TV series.
No, she probably doesn't have a cat. But the characterization is completely different
anyway. I don't like the lady in the TV series, so that sort of would put me off the book, if you know what I mean.
I would highly recommend them.
The book,
if you like a good crime thriller, if you're just ready to read through all the, because she describes everything in so there's a lot of blood, a lot of bones, human tissue and decomposition and stuff.
Nice.
Monique has a very fascinating expression on her face right now.
Nice way to spend a sunny afternoon on the beach.
But because you get caught up.
Any others to cheer us up? Because can't finish like that.
Oh God. Okay. I also love. Actually, I'm surprised I didn't bring any with me, but I'm a huge Peanuts fan.
Snoopy.
And I have a whole collection of books of the cartoons, and every so often, just when I feel a bit of a feel I need to be sort of pepped up a little, I just grab one and read a few panels. Yeah. It's just, you know,
make you laugh, make me silly. Laugh. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's been really fun talking to you. That's Paula Fleury Soller on this week's Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Beach Books and Beyond. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Brett for helping me to produce this programme. Join us again next week for Beach Books and Beyond here on Campus FM.